Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you we could be here.
Amen.
Bless us this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so this morning you guys all had morning revival. A little session on touching the Lord in the morning. Praise the Lord for morning revival.
Amen.
So now we have this section. Maybe we can all turn to this portion in our book. I think it's under the tab, Exercising the Spirit. And we can all read this title of this whole line at the top underneath Morning Session 1. We'll read that all together.
Exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord.
All right, let's read that again and let's emphasize those last three words.
Exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord.
Hallelujah. So this is our whole line, session one, is going to be on this matter of exercising our spirit to enjoy the Lord. So last night, the brothers had those that are here for the first time to stand up. But hallelujah, I'm glad you're here. You know, this is my third college training. My first one was on the West Coast. I never had the privilege to be in a college training as a student. So I kind of envy you. So really enjoy this time. This week is really precious to the Lord. And so this line that we're on, the matter of the exercise of the Spirit, I just want to know, who has never heard of this before, even up till today? Or maybe yesterday? Maybe the day before the training? Okay. Who never heard about the exercise of the Spirit, or even the Spirit itself, before you met maybe as Christians on campus, or the Christian club on your campus? Okay, so a couple of sisters over here and a few brothers. Me neither. You know, I never heard about my human spirit before I met this Christian club called Christian Students at Central Connecticut State University. And so a little bit of my testimony, I grew up in a Christian home and I got saved when I was 13 years old. I grew up in a Baptist denomination. I got saved there. Interestingly enough, I never got baptized there. And I shared with my youth pastor, the guy who would take care of all the young people there, that I got saved. And he was just really excited that I prayed to receive the Lord as my personal Savior. But I regret, and I don't know, I just nobody ever shared with me what happened when I got saved. So I don't know, maybe you realize when you came and met this club, this was the first time they said, when you prayed to receive the Lord, God came into your spirit. This is wonderful, but then you're like, okay, that's cool, but I don't know what my spirit is. So in the Bible, we realize that there are several verses. So in Genesis 2:7, we realize that when God created man, he created man out of the dust of the ground, right? And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. And so this verse, coupled with 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we realize that Genesis 2:7 and 1 Thessalonians 5:23, they show us that man is made out of three parts, right? A body, a soul, and a spirit. And that verse there in Genesis, it shows that God forms the spirit within man. And then even we see in Proverbs 20:27, Solomon, he realized that the spirit of man is the lamp of Jehovah. And then even Job 32:8, he says, there is a spirit within man. But now today, I love this verse, John 4:24. What is our spirit for? To worship God.
Amen.
Right? God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truthfulness.
Amen.
So we realize our spirit has a function. And so our spirit, it functions in the way for us to contact God and then to receive God and to express God. But that last part, express God, there's a little asterisk there. You know, man is made out of three parts. And so the second part of man is his soul. Our soul is within us for the expression of God. And so on this matter of the exercise of the Spirit, I just want to read this footnote in Romans 6:6 on old. It says, the old man is referring to the natural life in our soul. The old man is our very being, which was created by God, but became fallen through sin. And it is the same as the eye in Galatians 2:20. It is not the soul itself, but the life of the soul. This is the old man, which has been counted by God as hopeless and has been put on the cross and crucified with Christ. Formerly, our soul acted as an independent person with the old man as its life and personality. But now, since the old man has been crucified, our soul should act only as an organ of Christ and should be under the control of our spirit, having Christ as its life. So this whole line of the exercising our spirit to enjoy the Lord is very important. And so we realize that our whole life we've lived in this realm of our soul and the life of our soul. I don't have to tell you to exercise your soul life. You just wake up and you do it, you know. You eat the food that you want. You say the things that you want. You go the places that you want because that's your soul. But now we realize the old man, the life of the soul, has been crucified. And the Lord wants us to live by another life. And this life is in our spirit. Okay, so now in these messages, we want to give you some tools in a way to exercise the spirit. So this matter of exercising the spirit is just learning how to contact the Lord in our spirit. And this word exercise, you probably heard this before, is a matter of forcing ourselves to do something that maybe we're not used to. And maybe something that we're not comfortable doing, right? I don't like to go to the gym. I still don't go to the gym. But I have to exercise. You know, I have to go for walks. I have to keep my body healthy. But I don't always want to do it. That's why it's called exercise. I have to force myself to do it. So that's what this whole line is on, is this matter of the exercise of the Spirit, exercising our spirit to enjoy the Lord. So now my portion this morning is on these first two Roman numerals in this message on exercising the Spirit to call on the name of the Lord. So this matter of calling on the name of the Lord, this is kind of another thing I want to know. Who before they came and met the Christians on their campus in this club didn't know about calling on the name of the Lord?
Did not know,
you know. You never called on the name of the Lord because somebody had shared that with you. Yeah, that was me. And then I met with these people. I came to a Bible study and they're all saying, "Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus." And I'm just looking around, and this is kind of weird. I guess I shouldn't say weird, but it's just very different. Even in the Baptist church, they love, you know, some people will say amen, but nobody calls on the Lord. Nobody exercises to say hallelujah, all these things. But this matter of calling on the name of the Lord is something that we really should endeavor to practice. And this is in the Word. So this first Roman numeral, it says, maybe we can all read that together. This is Genesis 4:26.
And Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Right. At that time, men began to call upon the name of Jehovah.
Amen. Okay, so this portion right here, you know, we have Adam and Eve, and they had two sons. First, they had Cain. This is the one that they obtained. They obtained the seed of the woman, who was going to crush the head of the serpent in their eyes. And then they had a second son, and his name was Abel. Abel means vanity. They're like, he's vain, we don't need him. But it's very significant, his name was vanity. You know, man realized life is vain without God. Okay, but then, right, Cain was jealous of Abel because God accepted his sacrifice, and he killed Abel. Okay, so then Adam and Eve have another son, and his name is Seth. Seth means appointed. So Seth was the appointed one to follow in Abel's footsteps, to take God's way of salvation, right? Cain, his offering wasn't accepted because it wasn't according to the revelation of God. So he was presumptuous in his serving God and his worshiping God. So then Seth, he has a son, and he names his son, right? What does he name his son? Enosh. Enosh means frail and mortal man. So even in my experience, when I became a Seth, when I started to take this way of God's salvation, to love the Lord and take the Lord as my offering for my sin, I began to realize my life is frail and my life is mortal. And even without the Lord, my life is vanity. In my experience in college, I was my sophomore year and I was at a party, and this is what I wanted. I wanted to be invited to parties. I wanted to have a group of friends I could go with to these places where people went that I never knew about, because I wanted to be cool, but I never got to go to these places. So going to college, I was like, that's what I want to do. That's the meaning of my life. I want to go to parties. I want to have friends that I can do these stupid things with. And so I did it, and I was at this party one night my sophomore year, and I just had this feeling within me, I do not want to be here. This is meaningless. This is a waste of my time. So I went home and I went to my dorm room. And then that was the kind of the beginning of the Lord kind of revealing in me. My life is vanity. Without the Lord, I'm just an Abel. My life is vanity. So I need to take the Lord. And so from that point, I didn't start to call on the name of the Lord, but the Lord had me on this track to come to this Christian club, Christian Students at Central. And then I came, and then, you know, they were calling on the Lord. They would spend time with me, and I would spend time with them. And little by little, I started to see something. And as I started to see something, I actually picked up this matter, this tool of calling on the name of the Lord. And so for a little while, this thing, this calling on the name of the Lord was so weird to me. I would try to do it. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe this is your experience. Maybe in your morning time this morning, you're like, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, no, this doesn't work. You know, this doesn't work. So that was me. But over the summer, after my second semester, my sophomore year, I would drive from my house 30 minutes to go to the meetings. And then I would drive home. And one night, I was just like, I'm going to figure this out. They're calling on the Lord, and they say this is real. They say there's something here, and they seem to enjoy it. They seem to really enjoy calling on Jesus. So what did I do? I was just in my car. I was by myself, you know. And so that's what I did. I had a full release. I was like, I'm just going to do it. Nobody's here. And it got really loud. I just started calling on the Lord. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. And I finally broke through. It wasn't weird anymore. Why? Because as I was calling on the Lord, I touched my spirit.
Amen.
This is the goal of our calling on the name of the Lord. Right? And so even this matter that in Genesis 4:26, it says, they called upon the name of Jehovah. Today, Jesus is Jehovah. So when we call Jesus, we get Jehovah,
amen.
Right? There's a lot more I could say on that matter of Jehovah. You know, he is the I am. He's not Elohim. We don't call on Elohim. We call on Jehovah. He is I am that I am. Amen. He's the God of fulfillment of all of his promises.
Amen.
So when we call on Jesus, you know, these exceedingly great promises that we have in 2 Peter 1:4, we get all of these promises in this name. Okay, so now A, it says, Seth called his son's name Enosh, meaning frail and mortal man. Because men realized that their life was vanity and that they were frail and mortal, they spontaneously began to call upon the name of Jehovah, the Eternal One. So this is our experience. Even after I began to touch my spirit, calling on the name of the Lord, my experience became when I was in a situation where I didn't know what to do or I couldn't handle it, spontaneously, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus. I was like, wow, I'm actually doing this. This is real to me. So this becomes a spontaneous thing. And so although they were vain and weak, by calling on the name of the Lord, they were made rich and strong, for they entered into the riches and strength of the one on whom they called. So we enter into the riches of this name. There are several hymns, you know, I think 1086 is down here. How we love the glorious name, the name of Jesus. You know, all sorts of situations. There's something else I want to share on that matter. Okay, so Roman numeral 2, it says, what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Okay, so this is big. Maybe for you, those of you that grew up here, around people that called Jesus, Lord Jesus, people say, you need to call on the name of Jesus. So maybe you do it, you're just like, you can't hear me, right? I think the Lord can hear me, but it's just not that real. So this matter of calling is very, there are particular ways we should do it in order to touch our spirit. Okay, so I guess, sorry if I seem a little off track. I just want to kind of backtrack to something that the brother shared last night. Exercising our spirit is not being loud, right? It's not just being loud. Actually, specifically, this is to release our spirit. To be loud is to break through our soul life, to break through our face. You know, you come up here and you're on the test and you're standing there by yourself. It's kind of embarrassing. You're a little bit embarrassed. You're just standing here all by yourself. But you should lose that, you know, and to touch your spirit, to release your spirit is to just forget about that. And to release your spirit, you know, Julius, hallelujah. He just spoke that verse. Lord Jesus, you know, there's no shame when we release our spirit. But the exercise of our spirit is this matter of contacting the Lord. And so then A here, it says, the Hebrew word for call It means to call out, to cry unto, right? This is in Lamentations 3:55 down here, and also in Isaiah. That is to cry out. And then the Greek word for call means to invoke a person, to call a person by name. So then there, we have to use our voice. And even I just want to say this something on this matter of calling in our mind. We can do this. We can call within our being. When you're preaching the gospel with somebody, you could call within. But in your personal time with the Lord, exercise your whole being to touch the Lord. This includes your mouth. And so when you're using your mouth, it's much harder for your mind to wander off. But if you're just calling in your mind, I have this to do, I have my taxes, I got health insurance, I have my wife, I have my car, but I'm calling, but I'm distracted. But when I say, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord Jesus, it brings my entire being to focus on the Lord. Now, B, so the name denotes the person. Jesus is the name of the Lord, and the Spirit is his person. When we call Lord Jesus, we receive the Spirit. Okay, so then God wants to give us the Spirit. Joel prophesied this in the Old Testament, right? God will pour out his Spirit upon men. But, you know, he also prophesied, I think it's Joel, I lost it. Joel, I think it's, so somewhere in Joel 2 or 3, he also prophesied that men would call upon the name of the Lord. This is quoted in Acts 2:21, where Peter said, "And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So on the one hand, we have the prophecy that God wants to pour out his Spirit upon us. But at the same time, God needs us to call on his name. So we may have received the Lord, and I just want to share a little experience. We may have received the Lord, and we may be saved, but we may not be receiving the Spirit continually. And we may not be enjoying the Spirit as the reality of the Lord Jesus' person. So I have two brothers. One of them is younger, one of them is older. My older brother's name is Eric. He's not saved, so you can pray for him. And my younger brother's name is Brandon. He's also saved. And when I was in college, I would invite him to come to the college meetings with me when I was really enjoying. I said, "Brandon, come, you know, drive out here." And it was only a 30-minute drive, and he had this Mazda Miata. It was a convertible, so he liked to drive it. So, and I liked to be in the car with him too. He'd come pick me up. It'd be pretty cool. He'd have the top down, and we'd go to the meeting, and then he'd drop me off at my house. But I was just enjoying the Lord, and I would invite him to come out with me. And then on our way back from one of the meetings, I said, "Brandon, let's call on the name of the Lord." He's got the top down. We're like, "Lord Jesus." At first for him, he's like, "This is kind of weird." But he's just like, "Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus." So for him, he had been saved many years, but he had never been an enjoyer of the Spirit. In that moment, I could tell, you know, we would have fun together all the time, but we had never enjoyed something like that together before. So that was so precious to me. I could help my brother to call in the name of the Lord to receive the reality of his person, which is the Spirit. So when we call the Lord Jesus, we get the Spirit. We get the reality of this person. And then this last point before I end and give it over to Alan is C. It says, to call on the Lord means to cry to him and to experience spiritual breathing. So Lamentations 3:55 and 56, this matter of breathing is very real. And it really, it's this matter that breathing is also this matter of crying. And so this matter of calling can also be called breathing or crying. And even our crying is like the best exercise for our breathing, right? People say that crying is the best exercise for babies to learn how to breathe, to expand their capacity in their lungs. So in the same way, we need to experience this matter of crying, breathing to the Lord. And an experience I had, this has to be our experience. So, one of the experiences I had, I got into this really bad car accident. It was completely my fault. And I almost totaled the car. And this was the first time I ever got into a car accident. So I had never experienced this before. So there's a lot of details in there. But I got out of my car, and I'm standing there, and the police are there. And I don't usually cry. I'm not a big crier, you know. My wife gets really mad at me. You know, I don't cry. But in that experience, I was very emotional. I had never gotten to a car accident like that before. And I'm just standing there, and I'm just trying to keep myself calm. And like I always do, I would just start to call on the Lord. I started calling on the Lord. And as I called on the Lord, there was something in my being, some emotion that started to just like come up. And I was about to cry. So I stopped calling on the name of the Lord. I kept it in. Because I didn't want to lose it, you know, on the side of the road, all these people driving by, and the cops there, and these people in front of me that I just hit. But I realized there's something there about calling on the name of the Lord. It's very real. Anyway, so I get home, and I call the brother to have fellowship with him. And he just started calling on the Lord. And then I began to call on the Lord. And then I just began to weep. And that helped me. By calling on the name of the Lord, there was a healing. There were all sorts of things that I was struggling with concerning this accident. You know, all these emotions and stress and anxiety. What's going to happen? What did I just do? Oh, Lord Jesus. And as I just called, there were all these things that just came out of my being. And so when we call on the Lord, we're breathing out all of these negative things. And then as we call on the Lord still, all of the positive things, they get into us. So we're breathing ourselves out, and we're breathing the Lord in. So I'll just leave you with this hymn, A.B. Simpson, right, in 255, hymn 255 in our hymnal. Breathing, 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 breathing all thy fullness in. You know, you can pray over that, you know, when you're in a time of distress or a time of anxiety. It's a very good hymn to pray over. So now I'll let Alan continue, and maybe we can all call on the name of the Lord three times together.
So what verse in the Bible links calling on the name of the Lord with our spirit? You guys know? It's a verse in 1 Corinthians. I think. Yeah. It says, no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Holy Spirit is mingled with our spirit. So when we say, oh, Lord Jesus, or we say, Jesus is Lord, we know that we can exercise our spirit to contact God. Okay, so my portion, Roman numeral 3. Why do we need to call on the name of the Lord? Why do we need to do it? Is it because Ethan told you to do it? Yes, amen. That's true. But not just that, right? Maybe I can just give you a background, you know. There's a footnote in Acts 2:21, and this matter of calling on the name of the Lord has been going on since what generation was it, third? The third generation of man. And if you read that footnote in Acts 2:21, it traces all the people that call on the name of the Lord, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So many people, just consider the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with, oh God, oh Jehovah. You just look. And so that footnote, it summarizes basically this line of calling on the name of the Lord. If you're from the greater Boston area, if you can memorize this footnote, not now in the college training, but after the college training, if you can recite this footnote to me, I'll buy you boba. I'll buy you a large boba, the whole thing. Acts 2:21, okay? Anyways, so this matter of calling on the name of the Lord Jesus, why do we call? Of course, you know, ones have called from the beginning, but I was just, you know, in my preparation, I was asking the Lord, Lord, why do we need to call on your name? I was just praying to the Lord, why, like, how can we, Lord, why do I call on your name? And the Lord touched me with the first point, point A. We need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. Amen. The Lord just spoke to me. Alan, I want to save you. Amen. And this is not just initial salvation. I think all of us here, we've received the Lord, believe into the Lord as our Redeemer. And so we're saved, right? We're saved from that. But in Romans chapter 5, there's another kind of salvation, and it's called a salvation by life. It's a much more salvation. This is Romans 5:10. And so the Lord, he wants to save me in his, by his life. Isn't that? Just consider that. The Lord wants to save you. Okay? The Lord wants to save you in his life. I give you a little testimony. When I was a college student, I actually thought I was a pretty good person. When I had to turn to the Lord, I was in all the meetings. I went to a lot of meetings. Took a lot of responsibility at my club, doing a lot of things, outward things, doing all these things. I was a pretty nice guy, understanding, you know, flexible. This is what I thought. Okay, this is what I thought. And then I went to the Bible school, the training, and then I went to the extension, the third year, and you begin to realize that it's not just about the outward things of going to this, going to that, doing this, doing that. But the Lord, as you go on in the Lord begins to touch you that your person is off. Your person, and you begin. The Lord begins to show, and this is my experience. The Lord begins to show you're not the right person, and so you realize your thoughts. More and more your thoughts concerning this brother, concerning this, concerning that, just get exposed. So you get exposed in your mind. Your mind is off. And then your emotions, they're just so wild. You know, your emotions are concerning this, hating this, not liking this, not liking this aspect of this. Even positive emotions. Okay, this is, wait until you get here. When you realize that even your natural love for your wife may not be the best thing for her. I mean, you guys don't, I don't know if you guys have wives yet, but, or your spouse. You realize, I can love my wife in the best way, in the most, according to my natural way. I can love her in that way, but that may not help her in her Christian life. It can even become a hindrance. Okay, so, whether you're bad, whether you're good, and your will, wanting to do this, wanting to do that, your ambitions, your desires, wanting to make a lot of money, you know, all these things don't match. And so then it's almost like the more you go on in the Lord, you realize, I'm getting worse. You know? It's like, I thought the FTTA was supposed to make me better. You know, the training was supposed to make me better, but I find that I'm getting worse. But then you come to verses like Romans 10:13, and it says, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you realize the Lord wants to save me in his life. Amen. All these aspects, my mind, my emotion, my will, my person, my character, I need the Lord's life. And the way to be saved in life is to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Don't you love the name of the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
I hope we all would have a fresh appreciation that this matter of calling on the name of the Lord, it has to be real. It's not just, saying this, saying that. It's just words that we utter, but when we call from the depths of our being, we get the person. The Lord Jesus comes to us, and we get to enjoy this wonderful one. So how about we read point A again, all together.
We need to call on the name of the Lord in order to be saved.
Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor. The Lord wants to save you.
The Lord wants to save you.
Amen. Okay. And this will happen. If you keep calling on the name of the Lord, this will happen. The Lord will begin to save you in his life. Point B, we need to call on the Lord to be rescued from distress, from trouble, and from sorrow and pain. Okay, you know, this matter of distress, I noticed during the testing, some people, when they're up here, they're, oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, that's not what we're talking about. Okay, that calling on the name is not the distress that we're talking about. But sometimes, because our human life, there's just so many experiences. There will be times in our life where whether it's family situation, we're just going to be in distress. we're going to be, anyways, it's like this verse, like this point says, we're going to have a lot of sorrow. There's going to be a lot of inward pain. And recently, I won't say how recent, so you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe in the last 10 years, I went through something that was quite, I've never experienced it before, and my being, I felt like this verse, Psalm 116, 3-4, it says, the bonds of death encompass me. That's what I felt like. I just felt like my inner being was just like upside down. I just felt death. I couldn't break through. And actually, I tried praying to the Lord. It didn't work. I tried fellowshipping. It didn't work. And so at that point, I just did what the only thing I knew what to do. I just got on my knees and I just started calling on the Lord, like nonstop. Just Lord Jesus, Lord. That's all I could do. I didn't even know what to pray. I was like so perplexed that I didn't even know what to pray. I didn't have the words, and so all I knew was I just said these three words over and over again: Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. And I just began to call, and this matter of saving us from a distress, it's not according to our concept like I'm going to pluck you out of that situation, I'm going to resolve this situation. The Lord may very much do that. But I find more in my experience, it matches Ezekiel 30:34, and these verses have been fresh to me. You know, in those verses, the Lord actually rebukes the shepherds. And so this may be possible in our Christian life. We may be, maybe the distress or pain is coming from another brother or another situation. Maybe a shepherd, right? We're all still fallen, so we're not perfect. And so, and the sheep, they're scattered, they're lost, they're hungry, they're in all these things. They're in pain, they're in distress. And this is what the Lord says to these ones. It starts 34:11. It says, thus says the Lord Jehovah, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will deliver them from all the places where they have been scattered. I will feed them upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed them with good pasture. And this verse right here, verse 15, I myself will shepherd them. I myself will shepherd them. And so it's not that the Lord, when we're going through these kind of situations of distress, pain, it's not that the Lord resolves our situation, but as we're calling on the name of the Lord, the shepherd comes. We get the person. The shepherd comes.
Amen.
And he himself shepherds the sheep. This is the experience. And I hope all of us could have this kind of experience of calling on the name of the Lord. Okay. My time is almost up. But I'll just go through some of these other ones. That was kind of my feeling for the first two. But how about sisters read C? Amen. Okay, brothers D.
We need to call on the Lord to receive the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Ethan covered this. We need to call on the Lord to receive the Spirit.
Amen.
Everything we need is in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, sisters E.
We need to call on the Lord to drink the spiritual water.
Amen.
We need the spiritual food for our satisfaction.
So I like this point because in our Christian life, if you don't have drink, and you don't have food, what happens? You die. And if you don't have food, and you don't eat regularly, and you don't drink, then you'll never grow in life, right? And so this point shows us that when we call on the name of the Lord, this has everything to do with our growth in life. We can grow in life by calling on the name of the Lord. Okay, we're on point F, right? Okay, point F, go ahead. All together.
We need to call on the Lord to
We need to call on the Lord to enjoy the riches of the Lord. Okay, suppose Matt, let's say Matt, you're a billionaire. Hallelujah, you're a billionaire. What would you do with your money?
Spend it on what I want.
That's pretty good. Okay, well, maybe I should ask someone else. Justice, right?
Yes.
What would you do if you had $1 billion? You're so rich.
Oh, Lord.
What would you do?
Invest it, I suppose.
Okay. Okay, maybe I'll just say what I... Okay. If I was a billionaire, I would want the people that I love to enjoy what I have. Instead of investing it, you know, buying what I want, but... You know, my mom, my dad, who took care of me all these years, like, I'm not going to keep the $1 billion to myself and just like, all right, I'm just going to buy this, and then, sorry, mom, you know. I'm out. I spend it all. Or even, I don't know what the experience is of kids, but I'm sure a father, you know, once you have kids, parents, they just pour out everything on their kids, right? And so if you're a parent, and you're a billionaire, you want those that you love to experience your riches. Right? And the Lord Jesus, you know, God, He's the richest one in the universe. The Lord is so rich. Okay? And in Romans 10:12, it says, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Doesn't matter if you're a naughty boy or a good boy. Okay, it doesn't matter. All these different things. It doesn't matter what your condition is. It doesn't matter this or that. The Lord, there's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the Lord is the same Lord. He's Lord of all. And He is rich to all who call upon Him. And so that footnote in that chapter, one of the footnotes says, this calling, this salvation, is just to enjoy the riches of the triune God. God wants us to enjoy Him.
Amen.
Our Christian life should be a life of enjoying the riches of the triune God.
Amen.
And the way we can enjoy the riches, as shown in Romans, is to call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So if you don't have this experience, you should pray, Lord, I want this experience.
Amen.
Lord, show me what I want to experience You in this rich way. I don't know all these people, they're calling on the name of the Lord, but I don't know. I've never experienced that. Well, be desperate. Lord, I want to experience You in a rich way. All Your riches. Okay. And then the last one, point G. We need to call on the Lord to stir ourselves up. Sorry, to stir up ourselves to lay hold of Him.
Amen.
How about we all read together Roman numeral 4.
How should we call on the Lord?
The source must be pure, seeking nothing but the Lord Himself.
And then B, yeah.
Open our mouth wide, call on the Lord.
And point C.
Call daily and hourly.
Amen. So related to point B, it helps. This is practical. It helps to open your mouth. Not to just call in your mind, you know, because in your mind, like Ethan was mentioning, this is all of our experience. We're calling on the Lord, and then remember our taxes. And it's like, oh man, if I had that money, I would go to. If I did my taxes right, and I got that lump sum of money, I could have taken a vacation. What kind of vacation? Where can I go? Oh, I should go back to Hawaii. That's a nice place. In the morning, and you're in Hawaii. You know, you're calling on the Lord, and then all of a sudden, in your mind, and then you're in Hawaii. But when you just, even if it's a little bit, open your mouth wide a little. You just, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Even nothing may come out. Maybe you're surrounded in a bus or you're on a transportation. And you just. People will think you're crazy, but then what are you doing? You can tell them, I'm enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
So we're just opening our mouths a little, right? Calling on the Lord. This helps us in our practice. In this matter, we should call daily and hourly. This experience, oh Lord. Even at 12 a.m., you can call on the name of the Lord. You know. Amen. I'm here to say that. 12 a.m. when, okay, you know, one day you'll need to, sometimes you'll need to stay up and talk to your wife when you want to go to bed, but 12 a.m., you know, whatever. But it's, and you'll feel like something rising up in you. Just like, I just want to go to bed. But then you need to take care of your wife, and your wife wants to talk. Yeah, I want to go to bed. And that's when, oh, Lord Jesus.
Don't open your mouth wide.
don't call inwardly at that time, right? But this is my experience. Sometimes this happens, and I'm not always successful, but I'm learning, right? Calling on the Lord, and then you're able to talk, and then it's 1 o'clock, and then your wife says, honey, thank you for caring for me. Worth it. The Lord did it. The Lord got me through. And then you can go to bed and at peace. Praise the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord at every hour. Every hour. Doesn't matter what time it is. The Lord is rich. He can supply you. Okay. Okay, last Roman numeral. We need to exercise our entire being, especially our spirit, to call on the Lord. The simplest way to exercise a spirit is to call on the name of the Lord. Point B, in order to call on the Lord, we need to exercise our entire being. This means that we need to exercise our spirit with our mind, emotion, will, and body to call on the name of the Lord. So related to our mind, this is just helpful for me. When I call on the name of the Lord, I think of these three words. Oh, Lord Jesus. I close my eyes. Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyways, I just set my mind on these things instead of other things. It helps me to focus on the Lord's name. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so that's just my help. And then emotion, it's good to add, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. This is our whole being. We're exercising our whole being. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Our will. Don't do anything else during that time. Don't be looking at your phone. This is something of our will. We need to exercise our whole being. Don't have your phone out when you're calling on the name of the Lord. You're going to get distracted. Set a time apart. Call on the name of the Lord, you know. Have a timer. That helps because then you're not looking at your phone. You need to exercise your will. Body, of course, there's a mouth. In the morning, if you're calling on the name of the Lord, don't lie down. You're going to fall asleep. Exercise your whole body, right? Or your whole being to call on the name of the Lord. Okay, I'll just end with this last story. Sorry, I'm a little bit over. In the reading, if you read the reading, it talks about our brother Lee. He first discovered this matter of calling on the name of the Lord. In 1931, that was his first experience. He realized he was in a very dead condition. So he'd go up to a mountain and he'd call on the name of the Lord Jesus. And he felt released. And he's like, wow, this is awesome. Okay, how many years until he actually began to search and develop this matter of calling on the name of the Lord? Does anyone guess? How many years did it take for him? 10 years? Huh? 20? 44? 2? Okay, I'll just tell you since time's up. Okay, it took him 36 years. 36. I did the math. I think I did it right. Yeah, so 31 to 36. That's 67. So in 1967, he began to, like, really search in the scriptures concerning this matter of calling on the Lord, and he realized, whoa, there's something here. So this truth got recovered. Okay, this is what it says in the line, or in the reading. This is why it took him so long. He says, "Nevertheless, due to my religious background, I still did not bring it into the daily practice. I did not realize that we could do it in our daily life." So it took our brother 36 years. And part of the reason why he counts that is because of our religious background. And so we can learn from this. You know, maybe you've heard about calling on the name of the Lord. Maybe you haven't heard about it. Doesn't matter what background it is, but we need to see that calling on the name of the Lord is an excellent way to exercise our spirit. Amen. And we can do it in a daily way.
Amen.
Amen.